Today we're beginning a new series of messages that we've entitled Winsome Witnessing. Let's bow our heads together as we pray this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to spend a few moments in your holy word. We pray that you would speak to us as we spend some time reflecting upon how we can be a blessing to others. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. Hide me behind the cross. May Jesus be uplifted, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every weekend for the next few Sabbaths, we'll be highlighting different men and women of the Bible that were instrumental in being used by the Lord. These were common men and women that the Lord used in a very powerful way, and each Sabbath we'll be studying each lesson and a different group of people as we go through them. Today we're studying the life of Philip the Apostle, and you can find, incidentally, four lists of the disciples of Jesus in Scripture. They're on the screen. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. And in each one of the lists of the 12 disciples, they all begin with Simon, and most of them end with Judas. This is a fast list, and there's just a few simple observations I'd like to make. All four of the lists begin with Simon, James, John, and Andrew. These are the most prominent disciples of Jesus. And also, there are some of the disciples of Jesus that you never hear about. There's Thaddeus, who's also known in the book of Acts as Judas, son of James. There's two Judases. There's also two James. And then there's a gentleman, Simon the Zealot, who never speaks throughout all of Scripture. Then you have Thaddeus, who doesn't speak, and James, son of Alphaeus, doesn't speak either. Thomas does speak, but when he does speak, it's kind of doubtful words. He's known as Doubting Thomas. There are three disciples that are very prominent in Scripture: Peter, James, and John. You hear them speaking all the way throughout the Gospels. We know that Matthew wrote the first Gospel. And then you have Philip. Philip is always number five. How would you like to be number five? All right? He's always number five in all four of the lists. It's always Simon, James, John, Andrew, and then number five is always Philip. He does speak, I think, four times in Scripture, and he's not very prominent. He's just kind of middle of the pack. Some of the disciples never spoke, but Philip does speak three or four times. And from this, I'd like to highlight that sometimes we think that all the disciples were stars, but Philip, if you look in your study guide, we can safely deduce here today that Philip was an average disciple. He was not your star. He did not preach like a powerful sermon in the book of Acts. He did not convert thousands to Christ after his sermon. He was an average disciple. He was just at the middle of the pack, always number five. And he was a disciple that the Lord used in a very powerful and profound way. There's a quotation you can find there in your study guide. It talks about the capabilities that we possess or do not possess, but sometimes we think that in order to be a worker for Jesus, you have to be like Mark Finley. You have to be on the internet or television preaching powerful sermons, converting thousands of people to the Lord. But I praise the Lord for Philip, amen? Because it shows us that you can be an average person, a person that loves the Lord, and yet can be used in a very powerful and profound way. Here's a statement that I refer to, Christ Object Lessons, page 141. It says, "It's not the capabilities that you now possess or ever will have that will give you success." Amen? "It is that which the Lord can do for you. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do and far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. He longs to have you reach after him by faith. He longs to have you expect great things from him. He longs to give you understanding in temporal as well as spiritual matters. He can sharpen the intellect. I need that. He can sharpen your intellect. He can give tact and skill. Put your talents into the Lord's work. Ask God for wisdom, and it will be given you. In other words, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, praise the Lord, in order to be used in His service. Amen? This is a very powerful quotation, and I especially like the part where it says, put your talents to the Lord's work, ask God for wisdom, and it will be given you. A number of years ago, I was, I think, a junior in college. And I went over to Africa, make a long story short, I got sick, came back. I told you about that story, about that bout with malaria. And the funny thing about malaria was that the drug was actually worse than the malaria. I remember I was under the quinine, taking high doses of that, and I was in my room at someone's house because they were taking care of me. They were a nurse, and they asked me a simple question. David, do you want the door open or closed? And I sat there for like 30 seconds trying to decide. I just blew my brain cells out. It was terrible. And she said, I'll just leave it open. I said, thank you. And it was terrible because after that, for several years, my mind was never the same again. I struggled. It was, my mental endurance was not there, and I pleaded with the Lord, and I said, Father, please help me. I want to do your work. I want to preach the gospel. I believe that you called me to ministry. And by the grace of God, through much prayer and Bible study, and I said, Lord, I'm going to use the feeble mind that I have for your service. And I put my mind to the Lord's work, and by the grace of God, he's healed my mind. Amen? And I believe that part where it says he can sharpen the intellect, because that's what he's done by the grace of God. If you put your talents to the Lord's work, he can use you in a very powerful and profound way. When we look at this question in your study guide, I want you in a quiet moment today or this afternoon, ask yourself the question, what is a talent that God has given me for his service? Everyone has a talent. Well, some of you may think, oh, I don't have a talent that God can use. Yes, you do. Everyone's given a talent, and God has a place for you in the church. Amen? In bringing people to the Lord, and jot that down because that is something that the Lord wants to use in his service. Philip was an average disciple used in a very powerful and profound way. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 43 and 44. This is 12:21 in your pew Bible. This is our study passage for today. It outlines the first recording of an interaction that Philip had with his friend Nathanael. I'll also have it here on the screen as well. The Bible says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So we know that Philip was from the same hometown as Andrew and Peter. Just prior to this, he had called some other disciples, some of the more prominent disciples. Philip is called to gospel ministry, and he meets Jesus. In verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip knew very little about Jesus. He had just met Jesus a few moments before, and then he spontaneously goes to his friend Nathanael, and he begins witnessing. He says, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about the prophets, this man named Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just a simple observation from Scripture. The Bible says, after meeting Jesus, Philip spontaneously, this is a key word here, Philip spontaneously reached out to his friend. He didn't need a witnessing class. He didn't need to know a lot about Jesus. He just spontaneously started to reach out to his friend. I remember when I started a relationship with Tennille, and I was really excited. And there was something that I wanted to do as our relationship progressed. I wanted to introduce her to my friends. Isn't that a natural thing? I was so excited. I said, hey, I want you to meet somebody that's just revolutionized my life. I think we have a future together. And that's a natural thing that happens. And sometimes we think of witnessing as sharing information, but in reality, witnessing is introducing your friend to Jesus. Amen? It's an introduction. And this is what's happening. Nathanael is introduced later on in the story by Philip to Jesus. After meeting Jesus, Philip spontaneously reached out to his friend. And this is a picture of Mike Rathke. Oh, what's going on here? Don't you love technology? I was saying, you know, I'm going to try this, and that's all right. Let me go old-fashioned here. I brought this up just in case. Oh, there we go. All right, we'll put this down here. All right, Mike Rathke. Is Mike here? I thought I saw him come slip in a little bit in the back. Mike Rathke was just baptized a couple years ago, and Mike has a tremendous gift for friendship evangelism. He just has a glow about him, and it seems like on any given Sabbath, he's bringing someone to church. He's just introducing people to the Lord. It's been a wonderful experience just to watch Mike lead people and introduce them to Jesus. This is a quotation, "Let those who desire to work for God begin where? At the home, in their household, in their own neighborhood, among their friends. Here they will find a favorable missionary field." Oh, there's Mike. And Mike has a tremendous gift for doing this. He has a tremendous gift for leading people and introducing them to Jesus Christ. Oh, he's coming up. Oh, you don't have to come up. All right. We appreciate you, Mike. Praise God. He's not shy. We really appreciate him. And he has a gift for leading people to Jesus. There's some other people that have been instrumental you will know of. For those of you that have been a part of our church family for a few years, Michelle Odema came to Michigan State University as a student, and she was one of these students that just wanted to meld into the woodwork and not be noticed, and there was someone that was very persistent. It helps to be persistent sometimes when you're reaching out to people. They were very persistent and said, hey, I want to really reach out to you. Why don't you come out to church? Why don't you come out to Friday night? And finally, she says in her testimony that it got to the place where she just would not give up, and she came to church. She was introduced to Jesus. Amen? Her life was dramatically changed, and then she spontaneously began to reach out to her friend, her roommate. This was someone that was close by, and it was Renee. This was her roommate. And I remember because I would come in and join in on some of these studies that were taking place. This was someone that was close by. And sometimes we think we need to be missionaries abroad, far away. Well, God has put you in proximity with people right around you that you can reach for the Lord. And Renee was her roommate and started to see this transformation, started taking Bible studies. She was introduced to Jesus. She was baptized. She became our ASF president. This is why evangelism is so important, because our ASF Student Association is so bound to this responsibility of witnessing. And then Renee started sharing her faith as well. You see what's happening here? And she started to witness to Taryn. And then Taryn's life was transformed. She was introduced to Jesus Christ. And Taryn was baptized. And they're both down in Florida at Life, a training school. And they are wonderful Christian young ladies. And so you can see the progression here that happened. Michelle reached out to Renee, and Renee reached out to Taryn, and now Taryn's reaching out to other individuals as well. God has put people in your life, whether it be in your workplace, your classroom, your surroundings, your friends, that you have a special connection with that God wants you to reach out to. Who's a friend that I can introduce to Jesus this week? Just make note of that and say, Lord, please give me an opportunity, whether it's through a spiritual conversation, to lead them closer to Jesus. Moving on, you see what happens here. This is what happens here in the Bible when someone attempts to witness. Sometimes we think that witnessing goes wonderful in the Bible, but it doesn't always go as planned. Here, Philip is very enthusiastic. He finds Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. He says, "We found him. We found the Messiah." And then what was Nathanael's response? "Nazareth?" I guess that was like New York City. Oh, sorry. I mean, but a place that doesn't have a good reputation. All right, Las Vegas, sorry. Sorry, Colin. Daniel. Oh, Daniel's my associate. He's from New York. All right. Nazareth, you can hear the exclamation in his voice. It's like Jesus of Las Vegas. I mean, it just doesn't go together. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "Nazareth, can any good come out from there?" Nathanael asked. So this witnessing experience immediately turns negative. And then Philip could have engaged him and made a comment, or it could have escalated into an argument, but Philip simply responds by saying, "Come and see." All right, so here's our next observation. When faced with an objection, Philip did not argue. Praise the Lord. Arguments never accomplish anything, and sometimes we think that witnessing is something like this. It does not work, all right? When you are in an argument, there's a lot of things like pride that kick in, and many times you find that you can win the argument but lose the soul. And this is important for us to recognize. Here's a biblical example of someone that's very enthusiastic, that's going out to share something with his friend, and an objection comes up, and he does not argue, he does not engage him, he doesn't even address his comment. He just says, "Come and see." I like this quotation. It says, "People's minds are changed through observation and not through argument." I like that. People's minds are changed through observation and not through argument. There's another gentleman that was reached. This is Christian Bull. This is a Southern Adventist University. That's him on the right-hand side there. He's studying to be a pastor. And when I spoke with Elizabeth, she told me that the reason that she started attending our church and later was baptized is simply because of observing the change in her son. She said, "I want to go to the church that was a conduit, a channel through which my son's life was changed. Not through argument, but through observation." I love this quotation from Minister of Healing, page 470. "The strongest argument," all right, this is the strongest argument, "in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian." Let me read that again. "The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. More than what you say, it's who you are." And God wants to use your witness to reach out to others for his kingdom and for his cause. Very quickly, agree with people on every point where you can consistently do so. This is from the book Evangelism 141. "Let them see that you love their souls and want to be in harmony with them so far as possible." Be agreeable. Be a person that loves them and make that evident as you endeavor to reach out to them. Observation number 4, Philip gave his friend an invitation. He said, "Come and see." And this is one of the foundational elements of reaching out to other individuals. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be a scholar. You can invite them to certain church functions in which Jesus is going to be uplifted, where Jesus is going to be seen. This is some simple things that you can do. You can invite them to a church worship service. Say, "Hey," in a course of a conversation, maybe they ask about your church. You can invite them out of church. Something even less forthright is our sermon website. You can go there and www.universitysda.com, and there's sermons and podcasts and downloads that you can go to. And I know that many of you have been sharing this with your friends and neighbors. Say, "Hey, why don't you listen to a sermon that we heard this past Saturday or this past weekend?" You can also invite them to church events, Healthy Supper Club, Agape Feast, social events, And also, you can invite them to personal Bible studies with our Bible worker. These are all things that you can do to lead your friend to Jesus Christ. All in all, this is the most important introduction that you can make, and I'd like to invite you to turn to the bottom of your study guide. Here's a personal commitment that you can make between yourself and the Lord. The first one says, Lord, I want to see my family and friends in heaven. Do you want to see your family and friends in heaven? Well, that's a commitment that the Lord can only give you, and if you want to see them there, the introduction to Jesus is a very important one. Lord, help me to be a loving and lovable Christian. Is that your desire here today? That when other people see you, they see Jesus Christ. And the third one, Lord, give me an opportunity to invite a friend to church next week. You can pray to God and say, Lord, turn our conversation to a spiritual conversation. Give me the opportunity to witness. And as you open yourself to being a light for God, He will give you that opportunity. Let's bow our heads together as we pray this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the example of Philip in the Bible. Lord, he wasn't the greatest scholar. He wasn't the greatest preacher, but you called him to be part of the 12 apostles. And we thank you for his example of engaging his friend Nathanael. And when there was an objection brought up, we thank you that his response was, come and see. We pray that you'd bless us as we endeavor to serve you. Bless us as we endeavor to be winsome witnesses for your cause and for your kingdom. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.